I want you to turn your Bibles to Numbers chapter number 11 tonight. Numbers chapter number 11. I'm going to give you a little devotion tonight. Don't know how it'll go, but I feel like the Lord leading my heart to this. The children of Israel were very blessed. And they were peculiar people called out, as I mentioned this morning. They're called the church in the wilderness in the book of Acts. And God created Abraham and then called Abraham and created out of that calling, He created a people. He made a nation from scratch, the Hebrew nation, the Jews, and became Abraham's God, made covenants with Him. And then Isaac, Jacob come along, the 12 tribes of Israel, and out of that, Joseph was in Egypt. If you read that in the book of Genesis, start with chapter 37. Beautiful story. One of my favorites. And then there come a time there was a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. And the Jews grew up in slavery for 400 years of bondage. And God sent Moses as a redeemer to them, and He delivered them with His mighty hand. He started, began this His power to lead them. Even with, I would see, at least this far back to the 10 plagues. Many of you have heard of the plagues. Maybe you've heard of the frogs or the lice, or you've heard of the plague of darkness, or the most famous one of all was the time of the blood, when they put the blood on the doorpost and the death angel passed through the streets and into every house, and the firstborn of every family, even the firstborn animals, the beast, died if there was no blood applied to the doorpost. What a picture that points to the need of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ upon our life. And God delivered them and brought them out. And then when there was no way, He opened a way with the Red Sea and led them across on dry land and buried the Egyptian enemy behind them underneath the sea. And then that time in the wilderness there, they began to be led by Him. His design and desire was to lead him into Canaan land, which many scholars said should have been maybe a 2 or 3 week journey. They stayed there 40 years, wandering around of where they could have traveled in 2 or 3 weeks because of the disobedience and because of the judgment of God upon them, the chastening hand upon them. So we're in that passage and area here where I want to look at the time frame when the Lord provided for the children of Israel in that time. And here's a great reference here. I want you to look at Numbers 11, verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. There was others amongst them that left with them that were not Hebrews. But also the Hebrews lusted as well and influenced by others around them. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat?" Now, it's an interesting question. He said, did God leave them to starve? No. He had taken care of them faithfully day after day after day. But they cried, and what we might call today is whined. We might call that whining. And I'm going to preach this a little bit tonight on getting used to our blessings or taking the Lord for granted. We take a lot of things for granted. And look at this verse 5, he said, "We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic." Man, that sounds like a good salad, don't it? I don't know about the garlic necessarily and onions, but maybe y'all eat onions like you do apples. But now, he says, "But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all." Ever heard that phrase? There's nothing in the refrigerator to eat. Some of you got kids, you back on top, and maybe you got big kids, adults that are big kids. There's never any clothes washed, or there's never no gas, or there's nothing to eat, or that again. You ever heard anybody complain about stuff like that? Well, that's what the children of Israel were doing to God. And they even gone so dramatically to say their soul was dried away. So when your kids get dramatic, you've never seen anything like God has seen. Can you imagine these million plus way over collectively as this voice whining and crying out to God saying, "Our soul is dried away. There's nothing to eat." What did he talk? "Beside this manna before our eyes." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, I pray you help us tonight.
Lord, to say what we need to say and skip what we need to skip. Help me, God, to preach, Lord, the challenge in our own heart, Lord, so much that we take for granted in our lives. Lord, the children of Israel are a great example of that. Lord, we also have been a sample of that as well in our own lives. God, I pray that you'd challenge us tonight, Lord, and speak to our hearts like we need. Lord, we need to be challenged. We need to be corrected. God, I need help to think about these things, Lord. As it has been said before, we don't know what we got until it's gone. God, I pray we might not have to go through that experience to appreciate what we have. God, not quit taking for granted because we're all guilty to some degree. Lord, help us to see some truth in here tonight. I pray that you'll anoint me and give me power to preach your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, taking God for granted or getting used to our blessings, I want a couple little point outline, and I don't know how I'll get it all together. I've got chicken scratch everywhere and notes, and some's typed and some's highlighted, and some stuff I scratched out and changed my mind. And some of it scratched out, you'll probably be glad that I did, that I wasn't preaching ramble on a long, long time. But think about the provisions of God in this verse. In verse number 6, they said there's nothing at all beside this manna. Now, if you want to know what manna is, and even if you don't, I'm going to tell you. But the word manna is supposed to represent the thought of what is it? It's another word for what is that? Because the manna was something that God miraculously provided for the children of Israel. Every morning when they would wake up, with the dew, the manna would fall and be on the ground with the dew. And the children of Israel could collect this manna together and they could use it to make like bread-like items. Some of them, when they grind it and made like a flour out of it to make cakes and stuff out of it or like bread with it. And every day that they needed it, God would provide it for them. Now, He warned them that on the Sabbath day, which was the seventh day, that be holy day unto the Lord, that He would not allow that to go on the ground. They wouldn't go out there and work to gather it. But on the day before that, He would let them gather so much that they could store it up and then it would be good the next day. But if they tried to do that any other time, it would turn to worms. That just shows the power of God. He said, if you'll just obey me, it'll work right. If you don't, it will not work. But many times the children of Israel disobeyed. They complained. They challenged God. They tested to see if he really was meaning what he said he would mean. And it's amazing. There were times that Moses wanted to kill the children of Israel, and he interceded for God stopped him from doing it. And there were times God wanted to kill the children of Israel, and Moses interceded. If you look at Exodus chapter 32, there's the longest dash in all of the Bible where Moses was interceding for the children of God. He didn't even know what to say, but he was so broken. And he just this long space dash where he was praying to God. No words. Trying to intercede unto the Lord. It's a wonder God didn't wipe them out. And I want you to think about, and I'll give you some scriptures of Exodus 13 if you want to write some notes. Exodus 13, 21, 22 talks about the manna, talks about the pillar of cloud and the fire and all these different things He provided for them, all these things that were protection for them. There were things that He could lead them by and feed them with, many things like that. And you get this phrase, beside this. In other words, we know this is here. This is on the table. This is offered. This is available. But we don't want it. It's not what we desire. It's not what we want. We're tired of it. And I know that no lady here, and I know some of you men cook as well, but I know most of the time the ladies end up being doing a lot of cooking, but or maybe they get a lot of complaints about the cooking. I don't know. But and I know the children used to do it. I used to do it a lot. I was so tired of the same food over and over in my household growing up. I'd complain about it. And we had some of the same stuff every week, but we always had something every week. Now, when I was young in the moment, I didn't appreciate what I had. When I look back now, I think about how poor we really were and how amazing it was that my family was able to do with what they could do with what we had. I look back now, I don't take it for granted, but in the moment I took it for granted, having food on the table. I remember one time my dad complained about my mama's biscuits. I'm going to make you hungry a little bit tonight. Sunday dinner biscuits, mama made them from scratch with no
canned stuff. Now, I know there's some good canned stuff. I'm not going to lie. There's some pretty good canned versions out there. But they ain't nothing in the can like my mama made. And mama made them biscuits. And one day she was a little off on the recipe. And when we got them out, Brother Donnie, they just crumbled all to pieces. You couldn't slice them. You look at it with a knife and it'd fall all to pieces. And my dad was over there trying to pull the lid off and it crumbled. And he put butter and it stuck to the butter, stuck to the knife. And the bottom fell apart in his hand. And he was one of those that he didn't know how to shut up. He said some things he shouldn't say. And at the table, boy, he complained about having biscuits to eat. And years went by, and one day, I don't know why, I was younger, one day when I got my teenage years, I said, Mama, how come we don't have biscuits anymore? I can't even remember the last time. She said, it's been 3 years. She knew exactly how long it had been. She said, your dad complained about it right here at the table, and I haven't cooked a biscuit not one day. I said, would you please forgive my dad of his transgressions, and for my sake, cook me some biscuits again, amen? And she had mercy, and she felt appreciated again, and she started cooking biscuits again. And now my mom's gone, and boy, I miss those biscuits. Took for granted what you have in those moments. And it's hard to understand that the Bible in the book of Psalm 78, other passages as well, Exodus 16, says this manna would come miraculously out of nowhere. God would just lay it on the ground. You couldn't store up a bunch of buckets of it and hide it extra meals, because when you did, it'd be wormy and have worms in it. So God had this special boundary on it, this blessing. And it tasted like honey wafers, and yet they'd also grind it up, make it like a cake, so it would taste like fresh oil, and it would had a different color to it. It could be white. Some believe it was white when it was raw, and it maybe looked like delium, which it says in the scripture, which maybe a little bit more of a brown or a darker color. Kind of reminds me of a good old pound cake of cornbread, amen? Now, I'm just kidding. I'm just trying to make y'all hungry. But I have, huh? The Bible calls it angel's food. Now, I don't necessarily say I understand what that means in the scriptures in Psalm 78:25, that it was angel's food, but that's what God called it. That's what God allowed it to be said in the book of Psalms. And I wonder, did angels really eat manna? Or is it spoken of as angel's food because it's just such an angelic, amazing, miraculous thing? Because it's not just a food and a powerful provision God gets, but it's a message God sent with the meal.
That's right.
That, hey, I love you. I take care of you. I'm providing for you. I can take water out of the rock. I can send a strong wind and just bring quail. I can do any of those things. But He chose manna first, and they rejected it. They got tired of it. Can you imagine? God, I'm tired of the same old thing. We don't deserve one blessing, not one that we have. And many times we act like they did. Manna again. You know, the same old kind of things. And you know, we do take a lot of things for granted in our lives. They took the presence of God, not only the provisions of God, with this manna. And I'll give you a side note here. They did complain about it. God went over the top, a little overwhelming, a little bit of a flexing of His muscles to show them, you complain about this? He gathered all the men, I think it was 70 men of Israel, I can't remember the number there. He gathered them together, He gave them a message, He told them what He was going to do, He sent the strong wind and quail, which I think is one of the best wild birds I ever had in my life. I had quail at that men's thing we did, and I thought, poor old Charlie said, preacher, them things are kind of expensive. Just slow down there a little bit. Now, he didn't say it quite like that. That was bad. That was better than chicken, I'm going to tell you what. And so God sent someone of the best wild bird He could have ever sent to them. They didn't have to shoot it, hunt it, seek it out. He just sent it in. It just dropped in the camp. Not a thing wrong with it. And they had it for 30 days, I said. And God said He was going to give them so much it was going to run out their nostrils, that they would actually be sick of seeing that. He's going to flex that and send all that. I'll show you. That kind of reminds me of a parent a little bit. Oh, you're tired of this, huh? Okay. And you want meat, huh? Okay, I'll send you something to eat. And then they got tired of that. Sick of that. Always complaining. What a phrase, though, concerning this. Our soul is dried away. There's a truth to that statement, isn't there? They weren't dried away physically. They had plenty to eat. God sent them
angels' food. The Bible even calls it in Psalm 78, the corn of heaven. That's what it's called. And he sent that to them. And little coriander seed size, and they could collect it together. And some got creative. God gave them a little creative license. Some little fellow over there scraping it on something. I'm going to make some meal out of this. What you got over there? What you got, Brian? I made a cake out of mine. I'm going to do something with mine. You know, let's get creative out of it. And then time came where they just discarded the blessing of the Lord, threw it to the side, complained about it, tired of it. It may be, we need to be careful what we take for granted and what we get tired of. Some of you, there's some people in your life that are gone now that used to sit next to you, and they're not here now. Now, I'm not saying you didn't, but isn't that the flesh of us many times too, not know what we have till it is gone? When Joanna was away in Arkansas, she stayed with my mom when she had cancer. We were both back and forth at times. She's helping me out. I remember those nights when she was there and I went to bed for the night and I laid there and that empty spot was there. And I got to thinking about that. Lord, help me not to take it for granted what I have. But it's so hard sometimes to defend against that because of our human flesh. We're not content of the things that we have sometimes. And I know that's a material thing. That's a fleshly thing. Food is a fleshly thing. But think about what it represents in this, because we get into Exodus 13. I want you to turn with me there and go back to the book of Exodus just a little bit. Exodus chapter number 13. See if I got this right. Exodus 13, 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Now you know the story that Pharaoh is going to pursue them, and then they're going to go across the Red Sea. God sent a pillar, whatever it looked like. I've seen some cartoons, some movies, man, it looked like a whirlwind, like a tornado. A pillar usually is like a pole or a pillar like on the front of a porch in there, but it's a big pole looking thing. Whatever it was a pillar or a beam of fire that was between the enemy and Israel. There was a protection there. And I thought, how awesome that is. And the word awesome, we use it so much, we take it for granted. But the word awesome has the word awe, A-W-E in it. When you're awestruck, you're almost overloaded with how amazing this is. Can you imagine seeing that awesome sight of that pillar of fire, especially at night, as it would be very bright and intense? You're standing there knowing that Pharaoh's army is on the other side, but there's not a thing in the world they can do about it. God has His pillar of fire there to protect them. Now, I don't know if I got this scripture. I've got to find it here. I got a little side note here. Here it is. This is chapter 14, verse 24. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, now that's a military term for like a security, like a soldier on the watch, who's watching over them? The Lord is. The Bible said it came to pass, it's Exodus 14, 24, came to pass that in the morning, while the children of Israel are trying to sleep, with all this going on, I'm sure some of them slept. You probably slept from exhaustion at least before. And some spiritual people, you know, they're more spiritual than you. They can sleep between two thieves, amen. They can sleep between two prison guards. They can sleep standing up. They can like getting rest so good. Some of them probably slept, but while they were sleeping during the night, it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire. Can you imagine being on this side just seeing the pillar of fire and go, well, God's taking care of it. I don't understand it, but there it is. It's taking care of us. It's protecting. And then you're the Pharaoh's armies on the other side, Brother Jeremy, and you see two eyes. You see the eyes of God staring at you, looking through the pillar of fire at you. Can you imagine if like, there's something very supernatural? Why don't y'all pursue them? Well, I don't know if you see the fire pillar.
And I don't know about you, but I'm seeing some eyes staring at me. I'm not going after that till that's moved. Then he'd move it at night, and during the day, he put a pillar of a cloud by day. And it's like GPS with shade, amen? And it just led them everywhere they went, but it also brought a shade out of the heat in the desert. They're wandering around in the desert. They're not wandering, excuse me. They're being led out of Egypt to go to the Red Sea. They think they're being, the Egyptians think they're being led to a dead end, but they're being led by a living God who gives them the direction while He's giving them shade over them in the heat. And they took that for granted. There come a time they still complain about what God did for them. And they didn't look back on these miraculous things. It's a sad thing to think of. That light, that leading, that fire, maybe even was warmth at night. I know a little bit about fire. I wonder if it was a heat as in the night as well for the cold nights in the desert. Can you imagine you're standing over and saying, this is a crazy thing. This is so warm and it's amazing. It seems like God can just about provide anything that we need, anytime that we need it, anywhere that we are. He delivered us out as slaves and brought us out here. But they took that for granted. I wonder in the morning time when the manna was on the ground, there used to be, keep that phrase in mind, there used to be a time where when they woke up, it was to go in the mud pits every day of their life for 400 years or generations. Your boys, my boys would have grown up to be male slaves unto the Egyptians. Historically, many people believe the reasons the pyramids and some of those things were built was on the backs of the Israeli slaves, Israelites. And so you get up in the morning and you didn't say, well, another day, another dollar. No, another day in the mud pit. Another day as a slave. And the children that were born, the male children, if they were born, they'd take those baby boys and they'd throw them in the Nile River. That was a day in the life of the Israelites. And then fast forward a little bit later, they're on the other side of the Red Sea. They're in the wilderness now. They wake up in the morning and it's like snow all over the ground. There it is again. What, that manna. There it is. Go get it. Collect it up. I don't know who the first person was. Maybe I have to read my scripture again. Maybe God gave Moses real good directions. But you know how some people are. They just about put anything in their mouth. And he's like, is it good? Oh, you tried. But they gathered it together, they ate it, it sustained them, it provided for them. And it did taste like something like honey wafer. I think I could eat vanilla wafers or honey wafers or whatever, amen. There used to be what I'm trying to get to, there used to be a time they were slaves and they nothing but longed and groaned and prayed and cried out to God for deliverance to get them out of that bondage. And now they have a day, every day they get up, they can say, man, I wonder if the miracle of God will be there again. And then for 40 years goes by, the Bible says. 40 years. And now they're complaining. And look at this with me. My passage of Scripture. Numbers 11:5. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt. I wondered how often they had time to go fishing. I wonder how often I was a slave working all day long in the mud pits and then, you know, even the time when they had to double up their order of straw when Pharaoh's taskmasters got harder. They remembering things and recalling things. They got a bad memory, I think. And look at this. Which we did eat in Egypt freely. I think they got a bad memory. A lot of people have a bad memory. Well, they'll criticize and complain about God. They'll criticize the church or the preacher. They'll criticize some spiritual thing. They'll get upset with God about something that's taken from them. And they seem to forget the bondage that they used to live under. And how amazingly good God has been to us. Now that we're no longer enslaved to sin. They were not slaves anymore. But here they said, well, back in Egypt, we used to eat this stuff freely. Really, as a slave? Yeah, you in the mud pits, I'd break out my little fanny pack bag and I'd just eat on anything. No, you weren't free, but now it's far removed from them, and now they're forgetting what kind of manner of man that they were. And even the Bible reminds us we need to look into the mirror of the Word of God, because if you do, you won't forget what kind of manner of man that you are. You'll see what you are in the Word of God. And boy, many times I take the glory and the power of God for granted. We were talking the other night, might have been Wednesday night. Brother Robert's been saved about, how long? 48 years. Saved. He's been saved a long time. Some of you have been saved 50-something years. There is a danger of being in the way, walking in the way, following His leader, seeing the pillar of fire, looking at that cloud, getting that manna, enjoying the blessings, the goodness of God over and over and over and over and over again, and taking them for granted. Because they spoke out, man, my soul is so dried up. I'm just so tired of this manna. Let me interpret this for you. I'm so tired of God taking care of me. I'm so tired of God just taking and providing for me. Listen, I'm in the wilderness. And God, the Bible says, He gave them iron shoes for their rough journey, their rough road. He did chasten them. He did keep them in the wilderness 40 years, but the clothes on their back did not wear out. Their shoes did not wear out. And He provided them food every day. And to the very day they went in the book of Joshua, when they went into the conquest of Canaan land, the first day they ate vegetables over there, that manna never appeared again. And God preserved manna for them to put in the Ark of the Covenant so they could go back in a testimony of the power of God. Can you imagine getting in on that once in a while? I don't know if anybody ever let, I know you weren't supposed to touch it physically with your hand, but can you imagine just thinking upon that ark of the testimony of the faithfulness of God, that there was a pot with manna in it and it never expired, it never wormed. It was a continual testimony of the faithfulness of God. And yet, they said, our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all but what God sent us. Nothing at all, He said, beside this manna before our eyes. It seemed like it would have been a good thought that this miraculous thing called manna was on their mind and before their eyes, but yet they look at it in a negative way. They look down upon it. How free they were as slaves and how enslaved they are now as God's children. Our used to be before Calvary, we need to be reminded of that. What life was like before you got saved. What life was like before you gave a rip about what the Bible said. What life was like before you could pray a prayer and know God could answer your prayer. What life was like before you could worship the true and living God in spirit and in truth. Before I was a slave to sin. Brother Phil used to sing that song a lot, "Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man that I used to be." Don't take the blessings of grace for granted. God chasing them over and over and over again. It wasn't because God was a bully or God was hateful. God was trying to chase them to correct them, to bring them to a clear understanding. Here they are thinking they were more free. There were times they complained, "Would to God, we'd be back in Egypt again. God done got us in another mess, put us in another situation. I wish we'd back right at the face of the Red Sea before He parted the Red Sea." They complained and criticized God's leadership. They criticized Moses. They criticized where they were. They were saying it'd be better if we just turn around, surrender ourselves, and go back. How foolish we think when we forget the blessings and the goodness of God. You just think about this in the concept for a second. If God withdrew anything from us, if He withdrew His protection, His hedge off of us. Some of us think we've been going through it. Can you imagine if we went through it without God? If there was no protection whatsoever over you? Nothing? Can you imagine what shape our nation would be in right now? If there was no restraint of God? None? If God didn't watch over you when you drove down the road, we probably wouldn't make it 3 feet. None of us would have ever got out of here at church today, I promise you that. It's hard to get out of here on Sunday morning. I told you when I was going to rent a dump truck, put East Georgia Road or logo on the front of it. just an old beat up dump truck that I don't mind wrecking and getting a few wrecks out here. Maybe they'll put us a stop sign or something. I know that's a silly way of thinking. There's a few times I come out here, I thought I was going to get ran over. So I said, well, maybe if I just run over something else, maybe they'll help us out. But you just think about it, it wasn't the protection of God. I've been in a funeral here before where we drove out and we had people in the funeral procession that got hit by another car. If it wasn't for the protecting hand of God, would be not one of us that would make it. But they forget about the blessings of God. The Bible says in Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Yet it seems sometimes in Psalms 1, I sit in the seat of the scornful and I complain and criticize. I criticize so many things and complain about so many things and take so many things for granted. If you've got fuel in your gas tank, you have been blessed. You say, preacher, it's getting high. Well, God can provide if He wants to provide for us. Maybe if we'd have praised the Lord when it was $1.60 like we should have, maybe it wouldn't be whatever it is now. It's about $3, aren't it? $2.70, $2.80, depends on what you get. I told the church this last year, I know some of y'all remember, if it gets to $4, I'm going to shout in the parking lot. If I'm able to get a drop, $4, that's it. One gallon. I'm going to shout about the faithfulness of God.
Yes.
If He wants me to go, or put me on a bicycle, or I can't ride a skateboard, I wouldn't live very long, definitely on that. Ride a camel or a goat or whatever, God will provide for me, or He's not the God of this Bible. But I want my faith to be high. I want it to be focused on His power and His ability. You think about what we take for granted just in our everyday, mundane, free from Egypt lives, just in your home. Food in your pantry, your cupboard, your cabinets, where you can go make a sandwich if you want to. I know our children, this generation is very spoiled. We'd have to admit we're all pretty spoiled. You can go in there and make something to eat tonight in your food at your house. You are more blessed than almost 90-something percent of this nation, this world. There are people, it's not just a TV commercial. There are people starving in this world. They're in cursed nations that have turned away from God and they don't have the bounty and the blessings that we have. And our nation is throwing away food. What if God removed that blessing? So, some of you remember toilet paper shortage? People lost their mind, didn't they? Well, can you imagine how bad it would be if you didn't have food? You were fighting over food. We fight over televisions on Black Friday. God may take His hand off of us and make us fight over a... Where's my can of potted meat? I found this in the pulpit today. Must have been some object lesson I preached. I don't know. Donnie was laughing at me. When we moved the pulpit for the wedding, I opened it up and this little can of meat rolled out. I was like, what in the world? I forget half the time why I do what I do, but I thought about that just now. It could be a time when we would love to have a can of potted meat. So not me, I want it. Well, if that's the only thing left, it's the only thing you got all week long, you'd be glad to lick all that can out. There were times in the children of Israel where they were besieged by enemies where they ate their own children. Yes, that's in the Bible. That's how far people can go when God takes His hand. I don't want to forget. I don't want to take for granted the hand of God in my life. I don't want to forget my blessings. And to get in a personal matter here real quickly, we take each other for granted a lot. You got clean clothes in those drawers. It wasn't some genie that put them in there. Amen? Somebody washed them. Somebody washed them. Somebody put them in the washing machine. You know what a washing machine is? And then they put them in the dryer. And then somebody folded them. And then sometimes they just appear in the drawer and it's like magic. Right? Somebody did that for you.
Yes, amen.
Amen? Don't hear anybody complain, "Mom, we ain't got no milk." Somebody just complained. Because, you know, those new refrigerators they buy at Lowe's, they come with free lifetime milk. You just open the door, it's there, you feel it, put the open, and it's back in there. Isn't that right, Brother Jeremy? Some of y'all got those refrigerators, don't you? That's what some of these kids think, I think. The old folks, I know that's what I'm becoming. We got that phrase, oh, money don't grow on trees. Well, the kids think that it just appears. It just comes. And we take so many things for granted in our life. Be a blessing if every time God replenished the barrel of meal in our lives, and it stayed, it sustained, it supplied the need, that we would give thanks to God and never ever be another moment in our lives where we take God for granted, where we take the people in our lives for granted. But we do it so much. And meditating, thinking about this message, I Joanna, it might have been today, she let me say, what? I guess I was looking weird at her, but I was trying not to take her for granted. She's laughing now. I come in the bedroom and I just stared at her for a minute. She goes, what? What? Then she said, I'm just doing so-and-so. I said, nothing. I got to thinking how often I take my wife for granted. I take for granted that my children are serving the Lord. Both of them are preaching, trying to serve the Lord. That's a blessing. I take so much for granted. I've been on the other side of many things. I'd much rather have some of the things God gave me, even though I've complained to the Lord. I know I have. I've been very blessed. I've got a Bible. I've got a church. I've got a place I can gather and fellowship. This church, the way it's structured, you take care of me, give me a salary. But I have worked regular public job 15 years at the same place. I thank the Lord for Him providing my needs. Many times, though, we get that paycheck and we complain about God's faithful provision to us. We complain that we don't have our favorite flavor of whatever it is. Right? Don't we? Can you imagine God's... what kind of praise we'll get today? This manna? This again? Lord, can't you just get creative and have some chocolate-flavored manna? Can we not have some strawberry-flavored manna? God, you're God. Can't you do more than this? That's our attitude. God said, okay, I'll give you some quail. I'll send so much quail, it'll be running at your nose. I don't want that kind of lesson from God. And I don't want the other lesson where there's nothing. Nothing. Not one thing around me. We take a lot of people, our family, our co-workers, our church family, our neighbors, for granted. We get used to our blessings and Him providing for us and the people God has provided for us, the plan He has provided for us, and how He can feed us and lead us. He can provide that pillar of fire, that cloud like He did for Israel. I mean, so many amazing things that God can do for us. I know Brother Jason shared some things with me. I know he had a lot he's gone through, been sick and the surgery and stuff. He shared some things how he's been trying to, he just by faith again, even though very difficult, had missed a lot of work, he determined he was going to start tithing again. And he's sent me texts and he'd tell me how God had sent back the tithe and more than what He had given. And I sent him one tip. I said, you can't outgive God. You can try and try and try, but you will never outgive God, ever. Now, you don't try to have an attitude that you're going to try to, you know, outgive God. That's not where your nature should be. But I'm going to tell you, if you have faith and just believe God and trust God, He will take care of you. He will watch over you. He will provide for you. But many times we take for granted. Take for granted you can write that check out. Take for granted that you have the things, the provisions in your life. We lose the sense of the wonder and the awesomeness of God. I do not want to be there. And I've done it. I've been there. When you lose that and it's absent, Brother Jerry, life is no longer enjoyable. It's miserable many times. No manna again. 40 years of that. Tired of that. What does God hear? I'm tired of God's provision. Tired of God taking care of me. It's a challenging thought. I read this little thing. It said, just think of all that lies behind even a little piece of bread. Thousands of gallons of rain. thousands of gallons God sends down from the sky into that grain and on that field and how it's harvested and thousands of hours of sunshine that the world's trying to store up all that electricity with solar power, and God every day just does it just by the authority of His Word when He said, let there be light. Every day, faithfulness of God, the sun shines. And the harvesting and the milling and the baking and the shipping and the distribution and all the fuel that's involved just to bring you one loaf of bread, and you put that bread in the toaster for your little toast in the morning, and you go, we got any more jelly, I'm tired. If God cut off 1 second,
yes, sir. Come on now.
He cut off one source. You understand that in your body, I know many of you are diabetic. Some of these that are not, and I'm not. I'm working hard not to be. I'm working somewhat not to be. Let me rephrase, I don't want to lie in church. $100 to $300, depending on what kind of insulin you need, per vial. That's naturally provided in your body by God when everything is right. But we take a lot for granted. We take a lot for granted. Your health, all these just simple things in our life. Sister Becky, I want you to come for us. Play something for us. God had to discipline the children of Israel. He did it several times to try to chasten them, correct them, to get them back on course, to get them back to looking to Him, to get them back to being thankful to them. We preached on that last week. But to get them out of that attitude that they had, because they were grumbling and complaining about God's provision for them, when any other nation in the world could see the eyes peeking through the pillar of fire. They could see the hand of God, a shade on their right hand, as the Scripture says. They could see God working. That was the whole reason God created a nation out of nowhere. That's why He made the church a peculiar nation as well. When the world looks at us, they're supposed to see that's a miracle in them. That there's no way they could survive without with a higher power not in existence.
Right.
There has to be a deity. There has to be a God. And there is a God. There is a Father. There is a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In times He chastened them, and even that proved that they belonged to Him. But how much glorifying it is when we are in repentance and correction of our own desire. And say, Lord, I'm sorry for taking You for granted. Forgive me of looking at the blessing before my eyes and saying, this, Lord, this manna, is this all You got? Is this all You're going to send me? The same thing over and over and over again. My grandma used to make Tang orange juice and toast with jelly when I stayed with her 3 months in the summer. Every single morning. Now, I was from the South and they're in Illinois, and I was a grit man. I wanted grits. They had never heard of the word before. I don't know if that's the North, but it definitely isn't the South for sure, right? We finally found grits on the bottom of the shelf. But I remember complaining about that little tink, 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 tink in the Tang glass, the little orange juice and the toast and the jelly that my grandma had on the table for me every morning of that summer for almost 3 months. I look back on that now, I'd love to sit down, eat breakfast with my grandma one more time. But I took it for granted. I wanted something more, something better, something like I had when I was free in Egypt. Something went in the past. Sometimes we forget so much about God, we start thinking the past, and in his most enslaving place was more free than living in the presence of God. Well, that's a messed up mindset. We need to see what's before our eyes, and instead of despising it, we need to desire it once again and say, Lord, this manna was described as fresh oil. And may You make it fresh to us once again as She plays, every head bowed, every eye closed. I ask you tonight, nobody looking around, you don't have to raise your hand. You can if you want to. But I ask you to think about this. What have you taken for granted? Is it your health? Is it that husband, that wife? Is it your children? Go watch the news. I told you, Brother Tim Hayes, that used to come here. His niece got shot in the back in a car. A random drive-by attempted shooting on another person outside of their car, not even affiliated with them. She got shot in the back and killed her, 22 years old. Hard to comprehend. I just can't hardly grab a hold of it. And I'd have to have a funeral of my child in their 20s. Some of you have lost family and things like that. This manna, they said, right before their eyes. It was so bad, they said, our soul is dried. They spoke a truth, but they didn't comprehend it, didn't understand it. Is your soul dry? Oh, it can be nourished and replenished. You can be revived, but you need to get your heart right. You need to get your heart back on, focused on the things of God, the blessings of God, the goodness of God. Not take for granted what God has laid out before you every morning, every day. Great is His faithfulness. I'm not saying I'm an expert at this. I fail so much. I remember a time when me and Joanna first got married, we didn't have a lot. I've shared with you the story. We had three cars break down in the same week. Three. One of them was borrowed and it broke down. We had some difficult times. And I remember I didn't have a lot of tools to do stuff. Had to always borrow something or just didn't have it. Just didn't get done. And over the years, I start getting more tools together. I'm not saying I do this every time, but a lot of times when I get my tools out, not only did I feel real manly and masculine, Brother Jason, I stopped and I said, Lord, thank you for this drill. Thank you for this tool. I can get this fixed. Thank you for providing it. I'll be out cutting grass and there's a breeze that'll come across my brow. And I stopped and I said, Lord, thank you for that breeze. I want God to know I'm not taking that for granted. I don't always do it. I complain. I guess if God were to reveal it to myself, my complaints would outweigh my thankfulness. The times I take it for granted would outweigh all the goodness that I have acknowledged. We take so much for granted. If our attitude was right, we would acknowledge that really everything's a miracle from God. Our children are a gift from the Lord. A gift. And I'm sure there's some manna God has sent in your life. There's some things you can look back and see the pillar of fire, the pillar of the cloud, the hand of God, the protection, the guidance in the night, shade over your head by day. May we ask God to forgive us. May you tell your family too, sorry, taking advantage of you or taking you for granted. Just want to be more thankful as we challenged last week. And I promise you this, when we're complaining about the manna before our eyes and talking about this again and how dried up our soul is, there is no praises coming out of our mouth. No praises. May we replace that with the praises of God. So try to do an inventory. Start with yourself and your connected world, your husband, your wife, your children, your grandchildren, the place you have to live, a car you can drive, place to lay your head tonight. And ask God to forgive you of all that you have taken for granted that God has provided. Father, thank you for a place to worship. Thank you for the family of God. Lord, we, as a pastor, we take a lot of things for granted sometimes. Thank you for our people. Lord, there were many that wanted to be here today that couldn't. And they don't take it for granted. And Lord, there were many that are here both services today. God, thank you for their faithfulness. On the faithfulness of the people who serve in our church, take care of needs inside and out. Lord, forgive us of our spirit of complaint, or forgive us, Lord, for taking the things for granted when they're just always there every day, 40 years in a row. Let us be thankful, Lord. Push past that attitude that it was better before we met you. It was better before, way back then. Let us be thankful for the blessing, not take it for granted what is right before our eyes, the miracle in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.